Welcome back. 8 o'clock. Jim along with the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. Hope you had a happy 4th of July. Did have the awful tragedy in Illinois yesterday. I'm not going to spend the morning discussing that, other than our hearts are, you know, our prayers go out to the victims, the families, those that had to witness that yesterday, that are living with the aftermath of it. People just out watching a 4th of July parade.
The worst one was one of the older gentlemen that died, wheelchair bound.
Yeah.
Didn't even want to go, but his health issues make it to where he can't just be alone. He needs care, and his family wanted to go. So
sure.
They took him to the parade.
Yeah, thinking it's okay. Grandpa's not going to be happy about it, but yeah.
Yep.
You know, Bears have issued a statement after the Highland Park massacre yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I know the White Sox had a moment of silence last night in regard to it. You know, I'm not going to sports show. I'm not going to sit here and talk about gun control or what we should or shouldn't do or whatever. Once again, innocent people shouldn't be murdered just going out to do something that celebrating our nation's birthday, that they're just going out to do like any other day of the week or a special occasion like this. You should be able to feel safe to go out. And I don't know what the solution is. I don't know, but certainly it was a little more difficult to enjoy the 4th of July. It was tough to enjoy it when you heard about this yesterday in Highland Park, Illinois.
The unfortunate truth on top of all of that is later this month, next month, we'll have to say it all again. That's part of the country we live in now.
Yeah, you're, like we say, Metallica, sad but true.
Yep.
It's sad but true. All right, so we got a couple things for you to offer up your opinion on today. What should Colorado do with the seismic announcement by USC, UCLA that they are leaving the Pac-12, joining the Big Ten in 2024? And according to KSL Sports in Salt Lake City, that officials with Colorado, Utah, Arizona State will be talking with the Big 12 today. And could that lead to an invitation by the Big 12? Does it lead to George Klyavkov going, hey, wait, let's talk about merging. Let's do that. Maybe we could do that.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happens with a Washington? What happens with an Oregon? What happens to their state school counterparts? What happens to Cal? What happens to Stanford? Does Stanford end up getting a Big Ten invitation? Because Stanford, if there's a school that kind of fits the Big Ten, doesn't Stanford fit that? With that program, with
the type of football they play?
The type of football they play for David Shaw.
Yeah, kinda, 20 years ago, yeah, but
And look, I agree, the Big Ten is evolving. But
Ohio
in terms
State's
of it,
not a 3 yards in a cloud of dust team anymore. Neither really is Michigan.
But it is Michigan a school State. From an academic standpoint that has the mix.
It vaults
makes
right near
sense.
The top, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of land grant schools in the Big Ten. Do you have a first and last name? You can come to college here. You're a one-namer? You can come to college here.
I mean, because there's been talk about that wouldn't make a lot of sense. That Stanford would be a really good fit in that conference.
How much, if at all, does the academics matter?
Does to a lesser degree. It does. You're right. Is it all of it? Is it end all be all? No. But does it play a role? Yeah, it does play. It's down the list.
Mm-hmm.
But academic fit's now way more important than regionality.
Yeah, I don't know when it comes to the football and the playoff and the money. I think that you can find a way for, you know, the Arizona States and BYUs to, you know, live together in a world of harmony. when there's potentially $80 million on the line for your school.
But if you're looking to build basically a West Coast Big Ten, mm-hmm. doesn't Stanford make a lot of sense in that?
Yeah. Hey, Big Ten's already got the West Coast now.
Yeah, but you want to have more schools from the West Coast to help. Well, we're talking about eventually when you create these divisions.
Right.
Would you not want more schools out west of the Big Ten to reduce some of the travel cost?
You know what you do? You take Wisconsin and Minnesota and Nebraska, UCLA, USC now, and then you take Oregon, Washington, Cal, and Stanford and have the big other 10 as part of the conference. You have the Big Ten and the big other 10, and it's a big 20. Or I don't know if the math works out on that because I was just kind of spitballing. But
right. I mean, and the Big Ten has put an emphasis on academics. I know there are people like, sure they.
That old book learning.
But they do. And that's where Stanford makes some sense.
I just, every time I hear about academics and college football, I flash to the Cardale Jones tweet. I'm not here to play school. I'm here to play football.
Play football. Play school.
And damn if he didn't go out and win a national championship. But, you know, like Vanderbilt, Northwestern, ain't winning national championships. That's where the money's at.
No, they're not, but they are. But they are in those conferences, though.
But good for them for trying. Good effort, sport.
But I know you're poo-pooing it, but it does. Stanford does make some sense for the Big Ten. Are the academic standards? Because remember that was a big deal about why Colorado joined the Pac-12, because of the academic fit in the Pac-12. It still plays a role. I understand what you're saying. For the most part, you're correct, and we kind of, you know, like, you know, when you hear something funny and you're drinking something and you spit it all over, a little spit take. It is that, but it does play a role in it. And if you're looking to, like you said, create some kind of even a bigger West Coast presence down the road, because if you're the Big Ten, you got to think, what does this look like 5 years from now, 10 years from now? Then Stanford probably makes some sense. In a way, Colorado would make some sense. Stanford, you get the Bay Area TV market. Mm-hmm. Colorado, you're getting the Rocky Mountain region. You're getting Denver, one of the larger TV markets in the country.
Right.
But then the same could be said about bringing in Washington. We mentioned 14th. I think Denver area's 17th, I believe. Terms of TV market. So if you're the Big Ten, you might say, well, what is Colorado? And look, and some of this is about Colorado too. Mm-hmm. Colorado's got to decide. Rick George and DeStefano, the chancellor there, and others, they've got to start making a decision about how committed are they to getting back to being nationally relevant in college football. Because if you don't start being more determined to hire the best coaches, no offense to Carl Durrell, to be competitive in terms of facilities. And I think they've tried to do that with work they've done at the Dow Ward Center and things like that.
I read a quote over the weekend about CU specifically kind of on this topic. A paraphrasing, because I don't remember exactly. It was an anonymous quote that there's a feeling around the Pac-12, now the Pac-10, that they don't have that much interest.
Yes, in I read the same quote.
To win the conference, right? They don't have that much interest in trying to compete for championships. Which, I mean, for the school and the academic portions, great, that's perfect. For the football playing portion of college football, that's not great. That's not great when the vibe around the conference is, we don't have to worry about them. They're not even trying.
Yeah, I read the same comment. And, yeah, it does not speak well to Colorado and their
But isn't that
their commitment to being an upper tier football program just in the Pac-12? I mean, right. We're not even talking about nationally, just in their own conference.
In the conference. And wasn't that essentially what we were saying when they rolled out Carl Durrell? It's like, this feels like giving up.
Feels like it's the safe choice. He's a guy that wants to be here.
Hey, fourth in the Pac-12 South? We'll take it. Or north, whichever division. Look,
they're in the South, which is now going well. Which
they're
is going away.
Pen.
Which is going away. Divisions are going away, but you know, for 1 year.
Fifth place? That's fine. You know? It's like, that's not a good spot to be in. How do you get
For two seasons, excuse me.
That's a very easy recruiting tactic if somebody in the Pac-12 is competing for the same kid that Colorado is. You just walk in there and be like, they're not even trying to win.
Yeah, they're not that interested.
Is that your dream school? Well, no, not. Okay, then why? Well, that's a good question.
I just think that, if you're Colorado, if you're Rick George, you've now have to decide what is our commitment level?
Mm-hmm.
Being just bowl eligible, every few years, going to the Alamo Bowl and getting stomped by Oklahoma State or whatever, that's not going to get it done here anymore. I'm sorry, that's just not.
Football is not one of those sports where you can accidentally be good. You know, with great coaching on the basketball side, you can get a kid or two every year and be competitive and make the tournament while not trying to dominate the college basketball landscape. But if you're not trying to dominate for college football, you're not going to be very good.
But like we were saying, though, the comment that was made by somebody from inside the conference, not with Colorado, mm-hmm. when the perception from everybody is, they're not trying very hard there.
That's pretty damning.
That's pretty damning. So what should Colorado do? As far as right now, all they can control is the moment,
mm-hmm.
and the near future, which is a couple of seasons from now. Do they want to stay in the Pac-12? What will the Pac-12 look like? Is it better for Colorado to go back to the Big 12 if the Big 12 will take them? Big Ten also makes some sense in regard to the academic portion of it. Once again, that thing that we like to laugh about,
right?
For Colorado, but then you could also renew the Colorado Nebraska rivalry, which would be good for the Big Ten, which would be good for both of those programs. They could really use that because neither of them have Iowa. The Heroes Trophy, okay, Iowa. In Nebraska, there have been some really close games, which Iowa continues to win year after year.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not to the level of what it was for Colorado, Nebraska. I mean, it is, but it isn't, if that makes any sense.
Right.
Colorado misses that. Nebraska misses that on a certain level. Now they could have Iowa and they could have Colorado as regional rivals that would enhance the Big Ten.
Mm-hmm.
I guess not Michigan, Ohio State. Totally get that, understand that. But it provides now another really high profile regular season game with Colorado and Nebraska, if that is indeed the case. And then you have another kind of, now the Nebraska's West Coast ish, but they were in the Big 12 once upon a time.
Mm-hmm.
They're Midwest, western half of the country to go along with Colorado. You have Nebraska, USC, UCLA, and then maybe you end up picking up Washington and you end up picking up Oregon. And it's kind of a Big 12 / Pac 12 ish division that you put together now in the conference in the Big 10. Guess it'll continue to use the Big Ten moniker forever, even if there's 30,000 teams in that in that conference. All right, we're going to talk a little NFL in a moment. Who do we have on the Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line?
Mike from Scottsdale.
All right. CU grad, Mike from Scottsdale. Mike, how are you doing this morning? Hope you had a happy 4th.
Good morning. I did have a happy 4th, but today's unfortunately the catch-up day for having the long weekend, but we'll push through.
So what do you think should happen for Colorado? We referenced that KSL Sports, and I also saw this on another website as well, that there's a meeting expected today between Rick George at CU and Utah, Arizona State, that those four schools will talk with the Big 12 today about what it might take for them for the Buffs to rejoin the Big 12, but for those others to get out of the Pac-12.
You just several minutes ago touched on the biggest issue that is going into this decision. And as a 1992 graduate of CU, my first thought was, I would love to go to the Big Ten. However, the school that I graduated from in 1992 does not exist any longer. And the administration and faculty, and largely a large part of the student population too, has not embraced the mentality that it takes to have a championship football team there. And that has been the case since Gordon Gee left. He was a bridge builder that sold the concept of having a successful football program and the benefits of it to administration, faculty leaders, student government leaders, and whatnot. And since he left, that commitment has not been there. So until that changes, the Big Ten, I don't see that move possible, because CU does not have the desire to commit the resources necessary to be part of a Big Ten conference.
And one of the criticisms, which I do find it funny that it's a criticism, because it shouldn't be, is that CU is more focused on academics and not on and some of the other sports and not football, which to me I don't feel like those two things have to be mutually exclusive. I think you can have high academic standards and also have a competitive football program. But you're right, since Gordon Gee left, didn't Gordon Gee go to your place? Didn't he go to Ohio State?
Yes, he did.
Yeah. So
he did.
Not that Gordon Gee turned things around for the Buckeyes as being a football school. I think they were in pretty good shape when he got there. But you're right. And I made the reference to AAU status, which is an Association of American Universities, that for a while that had some clout in terms of a school joining a conference. And Colorado has that. Guess who doesn't have that in the Big Ten? Nebraska. But that doesn't seem to be as big a deal anymore for the Big Ten. And, from the outside of adding the Denver TV market, Mike, Nebraska getting a great rival to play as far as a regular season schedule, kind of adding to their West Coast footprint that they've already started. Yeah, I don't see Colorado being part of that mix with the Big Ten. I just don't.
No.
Even though they saw a lot of boards this weekend, people, Big Ten makes the most sense for Colorado. Yeah, but I don't think they want
Colorado. The Big Ten's got to want them, too.
Yeah, they don't at this point in time.
Like you said, other than the TV market, what, at this point, does CU bring to the table?
It just doesn't bring anything, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. Like I said, 1992 was a lot different than 2022.
Yeah, you're a couple seasons removed from a national championship. Colorado is a top 25 program on a regular basis.
They had, 15 or so guys getting drafted in the NFL every year. This year they had how many? The big 0.00.
The Blutarski GPA.
Yeah, and they haven't. I mean, it's totally different. Just everything about it. The quality of players they bring in, obviously the record on the field. I was looking into this. They've been in the Pac-12 conference for 11 years now. Okay? They have 26 conference wins in 11 years, and 8 of those came in 2016. That's
yeah.
That's consistency for you. Bad.
not the kind you're looking for. Not what you're looking for.
Yeah. People, you know, fans need to have a little reality check, again, about what you're going to bring to the table as a program. Because
and like you said, and this is up to Rick George and the powers at the University of Colorado to decide, how committed are we to football? If we're
not, I think his hands are tied. I think his hands are tied because he was there for the first go around. He knows,
yeah.
You know, but he hasn't been able to sell that and get more buy-in. So, like you said, is it a bad thing that CU's like they're committed to being like a top research university?
Which those are great things, and we're not right. Trying to crap on that by no means. Those are right. Extremely important things that mean the most. But
football takes. As a backseat to all that.
And it doesn't necessarily have to be.
No, it doesn't. But it is now. And, again, until the administration changes its tune, then we'll get stuck. And that's the bad thing, too. You're just going to basically get stuck with whatever you can scrounge up.
Right.
You know? Like I said, I joked with you the other day. I'm like, let's go to the American Football, the American Athletic Association, and bring back the iBone and run wild on the American.
Or go to the Mountain West. Mountain West would make a ton of sense for Colorado if you're just talking about...
Yeah.
If you don't want to
play with the big boys and stuff, yeah, just go to the Mountain West.
Could you just go and exactly, because at some point, we're going to have another division in college football. Because there
yes. Are, the, yes, it's going to that.
The group
yes.
of five will have their own place, and they'll have their own championship. And I believe Jared, who's one of our P1s, like you, Mike, that mentioned this a long time ago. He goes, I wouldn't be surprised if that happens someday. I think he's right about that. And Colorado's right there in terms of what's our commitment level.
Right. It's a bubble team. You know, it's a bubble team. Because I see like 64 teams being like in the top tier. Something like that.
And ain't the Buffs.
And then,
Buffs are not in that mix.
Nope.
And they're not going to be in that mix unless there is a decision made that football is once again a priority at the University of Colorado. So we'll see what happens. Hey, Mike, yeah. Always great to hear from you. Hope you had a great fourth, and hope you get too. Caught up on your work today, man.
All right. Guys, hang in there. We'll see you.
All right. Take care, my friend. All right. Mike from Scottsdale this morning on the program. All right. The quote, by the way, mm-hmm. wasn't necessarily about USC and UCLA, but it was kind of wraps the Texas and Oklahoma departures and the USC-UCLA departures.
Mm-hmm.
Comment was made back in 2011. It was a tweet from former LSU Chancellor Michael Martin that popped up with this right. announcement by SC and UCLA. I think we could ultimately end up with two conferences, one called ESPN and one called Fox.
That's great.
And this is back in 2011.
Yeah.
And this is where...
He might be right.
And I think he's probably right about that. All right, couple of NFL things to get to this morning. Text or call us, is competitive eating a sport, in your opinion? Got some reaction to that. Also, what should Colorado do? Reports are today that the Buffs, along with Utah, Arizona State, will meet with the Big 12 today. We'll see what transpires there. Hottest selling jersey, NFL right now. Do you know who it is?
I believe I saw it's Go Bronx. Russell
yeah,
Wilson.
That's
not what
right.
he says. Stop that.
Yeah,
stop that.
That's right.
That's not what it is. Russell Wilson is the number one selling jersey in the NFL. Followed by Josh Allen, Devontae Adams, Kenny Pickett, who doesn't sound like he's looked all that good for the Steelers, but then again, training
tiny
campus.
Baby hands.
Tiny baby hands. Kenny Pickett, Tom Brady, Mac Jones, Cooper Kupp, and Justin Herbert, Patrick Mahomes. So those are your top jersey sellers. Yeah, Danger Russ, the top jersey seller right now. Also, I know you probably didn't watch it. I watched it yesterday because there wasn't much going on.
Of course you did.
Well, had some downtime in the morning.
Yeah.
Watched the USFL Championship, which Birmingham won 33-30, Canton, Ohio. Does wonders for the optics when you actually have some fans in the seats,
mm-hmm.
which they did at Tom Benson Stadium. And backup quarterback Alex Magoo, Mr. Magoo.
Ah, old Magoo.
able to throw a touchdown. Scooby Wright, the former Arizona Wildcat linebacker. Then remember Scooby Wright won like every freaking college football award, Butkus. And he was actually training to be a firefighter and thought about an MMA career and then got the call to go play in the USFL. He had a pick six. Actually a pretty entertaining football game. And you did have at the end of that game, Philadelphia with their backup quarterback, KJ Costello, went because Case Cookus, who was with the Broncos briefly, got hurt in that game. And he played great. He had three touchdown passes. That they did the fourth down and 12. They had the option of the onside kick or the fourth down and 12, and they couldn't quite convert it, and they ended up losing 33-30. Look, fun football game to watch. It was entertaining, high scoring, and just a lot of fun. I mean, is it the NFL? No. Is it closer to like the CFL? Probably. Quarterback play for three of the four quarterbacks really wasn't bad. Jamar Smith, that played for Skip Holtz at Louisiana Tech, and he's the coach at Birmingham, played pretty well. Case Cookus, like I said, had a really good game. It was decent quarterback play, kind of fun to watch. And they said they are going to do it again next year. It'll probably, once again, be hub city like Birmingham, which at some point I'm just not sure how you don't eventually find a way for these teams to play in their home cities, but... It was for a 4th of July, nothing going on, or if you watched it live on Sunday night, there are worse ways to waste your time. It was actually kind of a fun football game to watch. And I thought Joel Klatt did a great job promoting multi-sport athletes, because there was a play that I think Magoo made where he had to kind of drop down to his side, kind of like a shortstop turning a double play or... middle infielder, where he changed his arm angle. And it was Jamar Smith, because Jamar Smith got drafted by the Padres. It was Smith who also drafted Joel Klatt and talked about how you can only learn to do those kind of things by playing another sport. And that was kind of, it was, I thought Klatt did a nice job of bringing up some really good points throughout the course of that game, that being one of them. But had a little, Magoo got into a Skip Holtz on the sidelines a little bit at the end of the game after he threw a pick. It was
fight, fight, fight.
But then they come back to win it and calmed him down by just saying, look, we're going to win the football game. It's okay. That was fun. I said, was it great? Was it NFL caliber?
Probably not.
No, it wasn't. Was it bad to watch? No, it wasn't at all. All right, 8:28. Jim Long with the Buckeye Boy today from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios. Most trusted name in automobiles, and it's time to play Triple Play Records Stadium Cinema.
Know your sports TV shows and movies? Let's play Stadium Cinema on the team.
All right, up for grabs today is a prize of some note. It's your downtown double play with Triple Play. $20 gift certificate to Triple Play Records and a small antipasto salad, courtesy of our friends at Junction Square. For the first correct texter, 970-242-1340, to identify this sports movie.
Communicate to each other.
Give my kid a breather.
I want that one. That sports movie.
Okay, so first correct answer, you win the, once again?
The downtown double play with Triple Play.
The downtown double play with Triple Play. Text in your answer. If you won the last 2 weeks, set it out. 970-242-1340. All right, so get some of your text. Also, Mark Johnson, bring back our conversation with him from Friday. We're also going to talk top of the 9 o'clock hour with Dr. Kimberly Miller. She is the new athletic director at Colorado Mesa University. We'll have that conversation with her coming up in just a little bit. All right, text in your answer right now. 970-242-1340, the Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line. It's Jim the Buckeye Boy, the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network.
Who do I listen to?
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader.
Whoever suggested that has got to be smoking crack and plenty of it.
Whoa. The Team.
Welcome back, 8:33, Jim and the Buckeye Boy. Looking forward to talking with Dr. Kimberly Miller. She is the new athletic director at Colorado Mesa. We'll have that conversation at 9 o'clock this morning. I want to hit up a couple of texts very quickly this morning. Got one from Die Hard this morning. I'm going to say hot dog eating is a sport because you need to train for it, and it doesn't seem like much luck is involved. Every single year, you have one person and nobody can beat. In other contests, such as poker, darts, a certain amount of luck is involved, but that doesn't seem to be the case with hot dog eating, or I guess any of the any of the other competitive
mayonnaise eating.
Mayonnaise, cheesecake, whatever. Even golf, while it takes a level of skill to get to the professional level, once there, it takes some work to win each tournament, usually. All valid points from diehard. Dustin, it's more of a competitive sport than the 53-man crybaby sport of football. Football now, that's a sport I'd love to see go bye-bye. A lot to unpack there, Dustin. Number one.
First of all, fat chance of that.
Yeah, fat chance of that. Number two, so you hate all football. You want high school football to go away, youth football to go away, college football to go away, NFL. You want it all to go away. Why? Why would you want all football to go away?
What's the old line? I'd agree with you, but then we'd both be wrong.
Exactly. Why do you want to see football go away? I don't get that. You have a bad experience playing football? Lose too much money betting on football? I can't unpack that. Why would you want football to go away? Is it just NFL football? You have an axe to grind there? College? What? I mean, why would you want all football to go away?
Soccer, too? That's international
that's
football?
That's international football. I don't. When you make a statement like that, it's like, I don't get that. If you have a problem with the NFL, okay, you got a problem with the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
But say all football should go away.
He doesn't say the league. He says football as a sport.
He said football is a sport. So what's your beef with football today?
Sorry, little Timmy Junior Football League. Dustin says your sport needs to go away.
High school football, sorry.
Yep.
Guys can't play anywhere. Colorado Mesa, sorry.
Go run amongst the streets like everybody else.
What's your beef with football? I get if you got concerns about the level of risk and head injuries, things, okay. All right.
Yeah, that's not this.
I don't think that's where you're coming from on this. Why do you hate football in total? Got a beef with a certain level of it. Okay. That's your deal. But guess what? I ain't going anywhere. Anytime soon.
I'm almost certain it's not.
Yeah, no. I would bet $1 million that I don't have that it's not going away. Anytime soon, if ever.
That's a bet you're not gonna lose.
And I like my chances.
Yeah.
All right, 8:36. We'll have four down territory coming up, but had the chance to talk with Mark Johnson about football and about the USC UCLA departures, what it means for Colorado. You can also, if you don't catch all this, you got to go to work or something. You can also find at our website, our Facebook page, and our Twitter feed as well. Here's Mark Johnson from Friday, voice of the Buffaloes, talking about what might be next for Colorado.
It's time to talk Buffs with CU voice Mark Johnson on the Jim Davis Show on the team.
With us this morning on the Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line, the voice of the Buffaloes, Mark Johnson. Mark, was it surprising about USC-UCLA? Yeah, I think surprising. Shocking? Nothing shocks us after Texas and Oklahoma going to the SEC. Nothing should shock us anymore when it comes to college football and conferences, right?
No, exactly. Well, yeah, exactly. I used that very line yesterday on an interview. I said, surprised? Yeah. Shocked? Absolutely not. I mean, you could see this kind of thing coming from a mile away. Now, you know, on my bingo card, did I have USC and UCLA going to the Big Ten? No, but I was assuming that here at some point in the very near future, we were going to see a seismic shift again. You got to remember, back in that 2003-2004 range, when the Big East and ACC were doing their deal, I was with Syracuse at that point in time, and you know, was kind of standing on the fault line at that point, and so now it kind of feels like I'm standing in the same spot here, but you know, 18, 19 years later, it's not done. It's going to continue. What does this mean for Colorado at this point? Well, right now, I guarantee you, since yesterday midday, when kind of the news broke, it probably be before that. I'm sure Rick was getting indications it was coming before that. Athletic Director Rick George, like every AD in the Pac-12 and the Big Ten and the Big 12 and every place else, is working the phone lines and talking like crazy, trying to figure out where everyone's going to land. And you know, that right now is a $64,000 question. And I guess with inflation, we ought to up that number at this point. But you know, everyone's trying to figure out, you know, how's this going to shake out? And you want to be on the right side of the fence when it is done getting shaked out. And you know, hopefully the Buffaloes will be.
Mark Johnson, voice of the Buffaloes, with us today on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. And we saw this coming years ago when Texas had made, there was some mutual interest between the Pac and the Pac-10 and Texas, and that deal did not come to fruition. They ended up staying, and there was the Longhorn Network and all that, where, you know, and there was the talk of San Diego State and Boise State. They were going to join the Big East. Everybody's going, oh, that's so laughable. How could those two West Coast, or, well, one a West Coast school, western part of the country with Boise State, go all the way back, you know, out east? Well, regionality doesn't matter anymore. And I just, you get a sense, could we see, Mark, the Big Ten, they're not done here yet, like you said, or at least we're not done seeing the dominoes fall. Could they reach out, try to add a Colorado, a Utah? They try to create a Western division, if you will, of the Big Ten. Could we see that be the next step that maybe happens in this whole process?
Well, I think anything's possible at this point. And you know, you begin to kind of watch this, and, you know, people, I love when, you know, right now there's a lot of speculation going out, for example, on social media. This morning I'm sitting here glancing at Twitter, and people are putting out ideas, and I always laugh with the people that just, you know, say absolutely, well, that's a dumb idea. Really? Really? You think USC being in the Big Ten, if I would have said that 2 months ago, you would have said it was a stupid idea. Yeah, regionality has nothing to do with anymore. And I think, by the way, that is an extreme negative for college athletics moving forward. Now, Jim, there's 2 points to be made here, I think, and number one is this. What we're looking at in the Pac-12 is the result of the enormous, immeasurable failure of Larry Scott as a commissioner. He blew this thing all to smithereens with his failure and his ineptitude. And I'm not sure if we kind of, in the postscript of this, when we look back, I don't think we're going to be able to say there was a worse commissioner of any major conference in college athletics history. He blew this thing so bad, it's unbelievable, and this is the result of his failure right now. And by the way, how about the irony that just yesterday he got his final paycheck from the Pac-12? How about the irony of that? Say that it's all falling apart, and potentially we're looking at the end of the Pac, you know, 10-12, or what, you know, and the great history that the Conference of Champions has, because ultimately maybe that ends up being the outcome of all this. So that's number one. Number two is, what this is a continued push, and I know you and I have talked about it on your show. And 25 years ago, I'm standing on a practice field with Todd Berry, who's the president of the American Football Coaches Association, and he says to me, Mark, what is going to happen in college athletics is the upper level, you know, whatever that number is going to be, 70, 80, and I've mentioned on your show before, that they're going to break away and create their own organization. And this is the continuing process of that ultimately, you know, happening here. Because, you know, what are you hearing right now? Boy, we could see a couple of super conferences with maybe 24 teams per conference, or we could see four, you know, 20-team conferences, whatever it's they've been talking about. So that's where all this is ultimately going, I believe. But yeah, somebody ought to give a T-shirt to Larry Scott for his great accomplishment, because he destroyed the Pac-10, Pac-12 conference.
Yeah, the TV deals, the Pac-12 network, the failure to get it on enough carriers. I mean, the list goes on and on.
Yep.
Mark, of the failures of Larry Scott. And for George Klyavkov, I kind of feel bad for him. I mean, he inherits this. He thinks, okay, you know, there's been seismic changes in college football, but we're okay. We're still, as a conference, pretty good. They looked at expansion, you know, here a month or so ago, said, we don't really, you know, we talked about it, but it doesn't need to happen.
Yeah.
And now they're forced to look at expansion. And yeah, Now the question becomes for the Pac-12, who is it? Do you make a phone call to BYU, who you've rejected in the past, and now, hey, look, you weren't good enough to invite to the party before, but now we really would like you to show up because we've had some big-time guests leave our party. Would you like to come? Would you change your mind about the Big 12? Do they now look at Boise State? Do they look at San Diego State? I mean, in comparison, TV market-wise, it's not even apples and oranges, not even close. It's right, you know, light years away. What happens next? Is expansion the next direction George Klyavkov goes?
Well, and I wonder about that right there, because what you just talked about, remember, this was what we saw with USC and UCLA was initiated by Fox Television, okay? Remember who the power players really
are. That's true.
what ESPN has done in partnership with the SEC and now Fox with the Big Ten. And so sitting out there right now is the Big 12 and the Pac-12. And, you know, bringing in, as wonderful as those programs are, and fans many times will kind of get caught up in this, well, Boise is a great program, yes, but they don't bring anything to the table.
No, they don't.
From an advertising standpoint. And so as good as they are, they're probably going to get left out in some respects. Now, who knows? If when this new conference, whatever it becomes, does begin to expand, you know, maybe they get sucked in just to have numbers. So that is a possibility. But I wonder right now, this is just me kind of reading the tea leaves, if the Pac-12 and the Big 12 aren't convening right now and really looking at this and saying, okay, how can we leverage ourselves to make us the most attractive entity that is remaining out here in kind of the Midwest and Western part of the country. And you know, they've got still some prime programs in there, like the Pac-12 does, and you begin to kind of read that and say, okay, do we start combining these great programs with great history and a lot of television markets? And in that process, there may be some schools right now in the Big 12 or the Pac-12 that may get left out, and they may bring in somebody else. You know, I mean, you look at the Big 12's already got, what, Houston and Cincinnati coming in, and UCF, correct? I mean, and so they're
correct.
And BYU. So you look at, there's some pretty good television markets involved in that. And so I start to look at that and say, okay, what kind of combination can the Pac-12 and the Big 12 create here moving forward that becomes a very attractive television property? And so that's kind of where I'm looking, and I may be totally wrong, but that just seems logical to me.
It does, because now it's really to get to 20 teams, right? I mean, that's kind of the super conference goal now.
Yeah.
And if you're the Big 12 and they're brand new on the job, Commissioner Brett Yormark, excuse me, and a guy that's still relatively new on the job in George Klyavkov,
right.
You're kind of your rookie guys here, your rookie commissioners, and now you're thrown into the situation where maybe the best fate for both of those conferences is a merger between the two, because otherwise the Big 12 is going to say, you know what, Colorado, we'd love to have you back, Utah, Arizona State, why don't you join our party? And then what does the Pac, you know, Pac whatever at that time do in that case, Mark?
Yeah, no, that makes sense. I mean, there's a lot of logic in that. I've seen that thrown out a couple of times, bringing the two Arizona schools, two Colorado schools, because let's see, they're at, and I always forget because the numbers have changed so much over the years, they're losing Oklahoma and Texas. They're bringing in four. That puts them back at 12. Add the four you talked about, that makes you 16, right?
Yeah.
I think my math is correct there.
That sounds good, yeah.
Yeah, and so there's a lot of logic in that, because they're not too far out of the region, geographically speaking. They bring in, you know, the Phoenix television market is growing by leaps and bounds, and there's a positive there. You've got the Denver market, which is a top 20 mark. I think they're, what, 19th, I think, in the television market rankings right now. And so you bring that in, and then, you know, the other thing about this, I thought about yesterday when I was doing a show and I mentioned it, you know, the Colorado-Utah combination is interesting. Number one, Utah's had great football as of late. Not good, but great football as of late. You bring in the entire Mountain Time Zone with those two schools as well. And so, you know, there's some logic in that. So I'm confident Colorado lands wherever it's going to be when this thing shakes out in some, you know, a very positive position. I'm just not sure where it's going to be at this point.
All right, Mark Johnson, voice of the Buffaloes. You want to catch the rest of that interview, you can find it at our website, our Twitter feed, Facebook page, right at theteam1340.com. All right, 8:47, Jim along with the Buckeye Boy. More of your text. Got one from AJ this morning, one from Robert as well, and one from Andy as well this morning, too. We'll get to those in just a moment. I think Andy and his wife, anniversary here the last few days.
I believe I saw that on the old Facebook there.
Yes. Happy anniversary to Andy and Susan. All right.
We're still looking for a winner for Stadium Cinema, by the way. We're looking for the first correct answer identifying this very recent sports movie.
Communicate to each other.
Give my kid a breather.
There you go. There's one very recognizable name in there.
Recent voice. As in 2 years, 5 years? What's the time frame?
18 months.
18 months, okay. So within the last 2 years.
Yeah, that very recognizable voice at the end. Not known for great movies, although I've heard this is a very good movie.
Okay.
So I'll give it to you again.
Communicate to each other.
Give my kid a breather.
All right, so first correct answer wins today. It's Triple Player Records, Stadium Cinema, 970-242-1340. Don't forget, if you're interested in getting into disc golf, Triple Play Records on Main Street, the place to go. Talk to Rock and Matt. They've got the gear. They know the places where you can go play disc golf here in the Valley. So stop by and see them today, along with some great vinyl and great t-shirts and posters and all kinds of cool stuff at Triple Play Records on Main Street. We'll take a break and we'll come back with Four Down Territory on the Jim Davis Show.
I'm a big sports addict.
I like sports.
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 This is the Jim Davis Show on the Team. 101 FM, 1340 AM, Grand Junction. 102.1 FM, Delta Montrose.
Welcome back, 852, Jim of the Buckeye Boy. Still looking for a winner for Triple Play Records Stadium Cinema?
No, we are not.
Oh,
we
have a winner. Very good.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the winner of the contest.
It's another winner on the Team Sports Network.
Dominic, first in the door, identifying Hustle, the Adam Sandler basketball movie.
With our buddy Juancho.
Yes, absolutely.
Juancho Hernan Gomez.
I haven't seen it yet, but...
I have not either.
When Adam Sandler doesn't try to be funny, his movies are really good, actually. Uncut Gems, I've heard, is a really good movie. I've heard nothing but good things about Hustle.
And it kind of brings his passion of his love of basketball,
right.
And he's a scout for the Sixers. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, it's...
I've heard good things about it.
I'm looking forward to watching it. I really am. I got one from Andy about Dustin's comment about football needs to go away. Oh, so Dustin is a soccer guy, maybe a LARPing guy. Ooh, pile on pile crime this morning.
Yeah, that's funny, though.
Let's see. From Robert, listening to the Team, and Mike from Scottsdale, it sounds like Colorado should settle on the Mountain West. It seems Colorado just wants to have fun, just like Cyndi Lauper. Have a grand day, Team.
Mm-hmm.
P.S., God bless Highland Park. God bless America. Thank you, Robert. From Steve, Bill Walton's head must have exploded. Leaving College of Champions. Going to
How
Big Ten.
High is high.
All right, 853. Dr. Kimberly Miller, the new AD at Colorado Mesa, will be joining us next hour. Time right now, though, for...
We're into Four Down Territory on the Jim Davis Show on the Team.
All right, going to start things out with Larry Doby. People forget sometimes about Larry Doby, mm-hmm. because Jackie Robinson broke the color barrier in baseball at the Brooklyn Dodgers. But not long after Robinson did it with the Dodgers, Larry Doby got the call the early morning hours of Thursday, July 3rd, 1947. 75 years ago, got the phone call from the Newark Eagles owner, Effa Manley, who looked for Doby, got into bed roughly 5:30 in the morning after playing, and then just before 7 a.m. got the call from Manley that he was being called up to play with the Cleveland Indians, and he had joined the team in Chicago on Sunday. So some history, mm-hmm. with which people forget about Larry Doby breaking the color barrier in the American League. Cool moment, and he was a heck of a baseball player, but I think people forget how good Larry Doby was.
Yeah, I don't think people really understand. He had 287 for a career. He had over 1,000 RBI. He was an incredible baseball player on top of everything else. And, you know, everything that Jackie had to go through, Larry Doby had to go through as well.
Absolutely, he did. Second down, Joey Chestnut won for the 15th time at the Nathan's famous 4th of July hot dog eating contest. Didn't break his own record, but a comfortable victory. Even though he was battling a torn tendon, death of his mother, and a protester that ran onto the stage, mm-hmm. holding a sign, exposed Smithfield's Death Star in opposition to PETA and animal rights and Smithfield, of course, a major manufacturer of hot dogs and a lot of foods. So while he was gobbling down one of his hot dogs, Chestnut put the guy to chokehold and slammed him to the ground. That's impressive by Joey Chestnut. Look, my thing is this. You want to protest? Okay.
Sure.
Go protest off to the side. It's like people that run onto the field. Like the guy that Mike Curtis took out.
The sports field.
Yeah, that when you want to... Or this their arena, okay? Yeah. You need to be prepared to suffer the consequences,
right,
of interrupting what they're doing.
Yeah.
You can protest, but you do it over there. not on the stage.
Right.
You come up on the stage, you have that coming to you.
It's like idiots on the field who get blown up by a linebacker.
Like Mike Curtis, you know, did.
Yeah, the man's going to come for you as well, so you better be prepared.
You're stepping into their office.
Yeah.
Good for Joey Chestnut.
So, third down, I have a option for you.
Okay.
What's the better move? The Pac-12 absorbs the Mountain West top six, or six Mountain West teams. Fresno, San Diego, Boise, Wyoming, Air Force, CSU. Or the Big 12 invites the four that they're working on this morning.
Which is better for Colorado?
Which is the better move for college football?
I think it's the forego. As much as I think it'd be great for Colorado State and all that, I think that's a Band-Aid move. I don't think it lasts. I think you'll see Oregon leave, Washington leave, Colorado still might leave at that point in time. I don't think that'll be enough. I don't think it'll be enough to save the Pac-12.
I don't think it will be, but it'd be interesting.
But I wouldn't be opposed to seeing it. I just don't think that's going to be the direction it goes.
And Pro Football Focus has the top 10 rosters in the AFC. Where do you think the Broncos stack up?
Oh, the AFC, I'm going to say they have the fifth best roster.
They have the eighth best, according to Pro Football Focus. Bills, Chargers, Browns somehow. Bengals, Chiefs, Dolphins, Ravens, Broncos, Colts, Patriots.